All right, let's bow for a word of prayer before we read the word. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we can be here together today to worship you and to honor you and glorify you. It's because of you that we're here, Lord. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. We trust you. We trust your word. We pray you'll speak to us, speak to our hearts through your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have noticed that things are really crazy these days? How many of you realize that people just don't make sense anymore? Okay? You know what? I found the answer to that in the Bible. What a surprise, huh? Now, this passage is remarkable. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. This just says it all. This is astounding. Explains everything. The wicked one, okay, I think it's referring to the Antichrist, will come with the power of Satan and perform all kinds of false miracles and wonders and use every kind of wicked deceit on those who will perish. They will perish because they did not welcome and love the truth so as to be saved. Okay, you have to know the truth in order to know how to be saved, right? And so God sends the power of error to work in them, or the King James says the power of strong delusion, so that they believe what is false. Boy, isn't that what we're seeing today? People believe stuff that doesn't make any sense at all. It's crazy, it's wild, it's strange, it's weird. The result is that all who have not believed the truth but have taken pleasure in sin will be condemned. That kind of says it all. I mean, you know, it explains so much that when we're not willing to believe the truth, folks, then we will believe any old lie.
Amen.
Anything. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. That's how it all got started in the Garden of Eden because, you know, Adam and Eve have a perfect relationship with each other and with God. And the first thing Satan does, he comes in and starts lying to them, telling them lies. And they didn't have the good sense to ignore him and to say, get out of here, we don't want to hear it. They believed the lies, and that's why we're in the trouble we're in today. And it's only going to get worse until Jesus returns. Amen?
Amen.
And the day goes by, I don't say, come back, Lord Jesus. The sooner the better. Well, this morning, believe it or not, that's not my text for this morning, but I just had to share that with you. That just was so encouraging to me to realize why things are going crazy today, because people have refused the truth, and if you don't believe the truth, you'll believe a lie. We're going to read this morning in chapter 20 of John. I don't know if you read this passage last Sunday or not, but it won't hurt you to hear it again. Okay, y'all haven't forgotten about Easter yet, have you? Do you know that every Sunday is a little Easter? Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Do you know why so many people try so hard to disprove the resurrection? It's the whole foundation of our faith. If Jesus isn't raised, then we aren't raised. And if we aren't raised, then we're still dead in our sins. Praise God that he rose again. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, they've taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went. He saw and believed. They did not understand what the scriptures had said that he must rise from death. You know, there's a lot of people who haven't figured that out yet. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels who were dressed in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the feet. Woman, why are you crying? They asked her. She answered, they've taken my Lord away and I do not know where they have put him. Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. "Who is it you're looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to them, to him who is my Father and their Father and my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Well, as you can imagine, that week before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection was quite a week. That was the week that was, literally. Talk about having your faith tested. Now, I don't know if we often think about it this way, but do you realize we're thinking about a bunch of disciples and Mary and some of the other women, the followers of Jesus, who'd been walking with Jesus and talking with him every day, and suddenly he's snatched away, he's nailed to a cross, then he's put in a tomb, and it's sealed with a huge stone. Well, just think, this beautiful relationship, this close personal relationship with him, suddenly cut off. That's the end. That's the end of it. Well, of course, you're going to say to me, "Now, wait a minute, you know, Jesus warned them that he was going to die. He was going to suffer and die and rise again." Yes, that's true. But they were kind of confused, I think, at that point. They were unsure about all that. And as is so typical of human beings, that's us included, right then and there, they were so wrapped up in what was actually happening, what was going on, they maybe didn't remember everything that Jesus had told them. You know, as human beings, we have good forgetters, right? In fact, one of the reasons we come together every Sunday morning is not because we don't know a lot of stuff. It's because we need to constantly be reminded of the truth of God's word. The world is shouting lies at us every day. And especially if you're on media, oh my gosh, I don't care if it's TV, computer, social media, what is. There's so many lies out there. We need to be nourished in the truth. Amen? That is so important. Well, I think they were all kind of still numb in a state of shock. It was the cold, hard reality of what their physical senses that were telling them that was affecting the way they thought. And unfortunately, they were not listening to their hearts and to what their faith was telling them. Sometimes what faith tells us is very different from what our feelings tell us. We depend way too often on our own feelings and our senses. You know, we get in trouble too when we walk by sight instead of faith. What does the scripture say? We walk not by sight, but by faith. And too often as human beings, we're walking by sight all the way. We pay more attention to how we feel than about what we know by faith from the Word of God. That is so important. It's not something that we hope for. We know these are certainties. These are truths from God's Word. Satan wants us to think, "Oh, it doesn't feel like God's here right now." I saw a card one time. I saw a card one time really disturbed me. It was a sympathy card, and it said, "May you always feel God's presence." Folks, that sounds nice, but God isn't there only when you feel like he's there. Amen? He's there all the time, whether you feel it or not. In fact, sometimes Satan wants us to think he's not there, and so he'll make us feel like he's not. You know, Satan wants us to think that Jesus is far away, but Jesus is the one who said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world, and I will never leave you or forsake you." Amen? That's it. Well, when we picked up the account that we read this morning, it was about Mary Magdalene, how she found the tomb empty. Then she ran and got the disciples, Peter and the other disciple. I think maybe it was John, I don't know. She returned with them, and then the two disciples had left again. So here's Mary alone again at the tomb, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to make some sense out of everything that's happened, and trying to decide, you know, what does this mean? Well, the scriptures tell us she was outside the tomb, and as she was looking through her tears, she saw not one, but two angels. Wow. They were sitting where Jesus had been lying. One was at the head, the scriptures tell us, and one was at the feet. And then the angels asked Mary what she must have thought was a ridiculous question. "Woman, why are you crying?" Wouldn't you be crying too? I mean, if we had lost our husband or our wife or a son or a daughter, we'd be crying, right? Not because we don't have hope, but because we miss him. Okay? But the Son of God, wouldn't you be crying too if you thought he was gone? Or what? I didn't know what had happened to him? It's interesting to note, you know, when they say, you know, woman, why are you crying? They're not really offering words of comfort or encouragement particularly, are they? If anything, I feel like it's more of a challenge to get to Mary to think about what had actually been happening over the last few days. What had really happened during that time? You know, when you stop and think about it, the angels really weren't being mean or unkind to Mary. It's just that they remembered. They knew and remembered what was going to happen to Jesus. And Mary, in her grief, somehow had just kind of forgotten all about it. Or just hadn't processed it yet. Well, she's still upset. She's probably decided she wasn't going to get any sympathy from the angels, right? So what do you do when that happens? That kind of sounds like what we do. Well, if you don't get sympathy from one person, you go to somebody else, right? Let's find somebody else who will be more sympathetic. So the scripture says she turns away. Okay? And also, the other reason we turn away sometimes is because we don't want to face certain things that might be difficult for us, right? Well, so she turns, but then she sees Jesus standing there, but she doesn't know it's Jesus to start with. Well, she can hardly believe this man, whoever he was, because she didn't know to start with, asked her the same question the angels did. Woman, why are you crying? She must have thought, oh my gosh, that's the question of the day. But then Jesus, different from the angels, he adds a second question. And he says, who is it that you're looking for? Who is it that you're looking for? Well, Mary thinks, according to the scriptures, that it's the gardener. So she says, well, you know, if you know where he is, if you know what's happened to him, you know, tell me, show me where they put him, anything. I'd like to see him. I'd like to be where he is. Well, Jesus obviously sensed the depth of her frustration and despair, and he just gently and simply calls her by name and says, Mary. Wow, just that one little word. And you know, up until then, she may have been looking away. She may have been looking around. She may have been hoping he was out there somewhere in the garden, you know, hiding or something. But that one little word, Mary, must have jolted her back to reality. Because you know, she recognized Jesus' voice when he said her name. I hope we all notice when Jesus calls us by name too, amen? Do you? So she looks back at Jesus and she says one word as well. She says, Rabboni, which means teacher. Imagine the excitement and the relief and the joy of that moment. You thought he was gone. She thought he was dead. That was the end of it. And there he was. Well, do you have any question in your mind based on what I've shared with you so far? Do you have any doubt that Mary knew exactly who she was looking for? He said, who are you looking for? She knew who she was looking for. She was looking for Jesus. But you know, as I read this passage, and especially as I thought about that second question of Jesus, I wondered just exactly what your and my answer might be to that question this morning. Now, the first flippant, immediate answer we give is Jesus. Well, of course, Phil, that's stupid. We're looking for Jesus, right? But I want to challenge you to think that through. Are we really looking for Jesus, or do we say that we're looking for Jesus, but then the lifestyle we have, our concerns, our interests, and our priorities say something very different about who we're looking for? One of the problems we have in America today is we have people who say they want Jesus, but they're not living for Jesus. There is a desperate need for us to be putting our faith into practice so that people can see that Jesus is real to us. Now, I have a few examples I came up with just to get us thinking about this along these lines. Some contrasts. And the first one I thought of is, you know, a lot of times people say they're looking for Jesus, but sometimes people are just looking for a quick fix for all their problems. And some people especially like goosebumps. That's why we see a lot of people moving from one church to another all the time, because they want better goosebumps. than they had at the last church. Folks, that's barking up the wrong tree. We're supposed to be going for Jesus, amen?
Amen.
We go because we want to be in the presence of Jesus. So are you looking for a quick fix or goosebumps, or are you looking for an eternal Savior and Master? I mean, that's two completely different things. A Savior, someone, the only one that can save us from our sins, and wants to be the Master and the Lord of our lives. Another example I thought of. Are we looking for someone or something that will give us worldly pleasure? Oh my gosh, there's so much of that around us. There's so much of that. People are seeking pleasure more than anything else. Or are we looking for the one who can offer us true satisfaction, perfect peace, and a perfect forever? What a contrast. You know, some of these things satisfy for the moment, but they aren't lasting. Amen? Especially when they're outside of God's will and outside His word. Another example I thought of. Are we looking for someone who will give us all kinds of temporary earthly treasures? I underline temporary because, folks, nothing is permanent in this world. Any treasures you have, and no matter how many you've got, are going to be gone when you leave planet Earth. I mean, you're not taking them with you. A lot of people still don't believe that. History is full of people who thought they could take it with them. Look at the Egyptian pharaohs. They had these magnificent monuments built, filled with all kinds of stuff they were going to use in the afterlife. I got news for them. They're not going to use any of it. That stuff's still sitting in the pyramids. Or are we looking for the only one who can offer us eternal riches in heaven? Big difference in the two, isn't there? Are we looking for someone who will offer us power and position and prestige right here and right now? Do you know there's an element of a political party in this country right now, and their whole purpose is to gain power. That is the whole focus and purpose. Power. But folks, that's just for now. That's just here. Or should we be looking to the one who wants to reserve a special place for us in the kingdom of heaven where we can serve him forever? What a difference, what a contrast. Are you looking for someone who will offer you fleeting admiration and the world's approval? Boy, there's a lot of people that want the world's approval. They'll do anything. You know, I'm sorry, I'm not in social media. I never have been, I never will be. But I know there's a lot of people who, a lot of times, that's part of it, is seeking the approval of others. I'm astounded when people tell me the kind of stuff that people put on the on Facebook and Twitter. They put all kinds of personal information out there and stuff, and they're looking for approval from other people. And I'm thinking, you know, what's more important than that? Or do we want the one, Jesus, who can give us God's approval and his love and his acceptance and his forgiveness? You know, people can't forgive us of our sins. People can't give us God's approval. Only God can do that through Jesus. Are you looking for someone who will make this life easier? There's a lot of people looking for that. Or are you looking for the one who right now is walking with us even through the difficult times and who will literally pick us up and carry us all the way through to eternity? I mean, what we settle for, what people settle for, is pretty pathetic compared to what Jesus has to offer. Amen? It's astounding. Are you looking for someone who will do everything for you, or are you looking for the one who can empower you by his Holy Spirit to do all things? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Are you looking for someone who will do all that you want him to do? In other words, you can order him around. You know, there's a lot of people into this name it and claim it, and you're telling God what he's going to do and how he's going to do it and how often he's going to do it. Or are you looking for the one who will so inspire you, you will want to give yourself to him and serve him with all your heart? Boy, we need more people like that today, amen? In our world today, we desperately need people who will serve Jesus with all their heart. Are you looking for someone to follow who is here today and gone tomorrow? So many of the great religions of the day have founders who are there for a while and they're gone. They're in the grave somewhere. We are the only ones that have a risen Savior. That's why I never talk about the Christian religion. That That's not true. That's not an accurate description. Religion is man's invention.
Yes.
We have the Christian faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ, who is a risen Savior. Okay? We don't have a religion, because religion is man's idea and invention. The Christian faith is God's idea. It's God reaching down to us and accomplishing what only He can do. So, do we want somebody who's here today and gone tomorrow, or are we looking for the one who has always existed and who lives and reigns for all eternity? So, I believe the question that Jesus answered, that second question Jesus answered Mary, is still a viable question for us today. Who is it that you're looking for? Who are you looking for this morning? What kind of Jesus are you looking to serve and follow? Well, what's going to happen when you find who you're looking for? If it's Jesus, and if you make Him your Savior and your Lord, it's got to be both, okay? Then you'll be just like Mary and the disciples. You'll be filled with joy and peace and the Holy Spirit. Let's bow for prayer.